Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
More developments on the Dublin Mint story. Again, if people started over a week ago, they've been advertising a lot on television, not on radio, but it's a visual thing, I suppose, on television and in newspapers and other ways, a set of Jim Fitzpatrick designed coins, they say. This set costs 500 quid. You're not told this, you're offered a free coin to start. And this prompted a number of people who have been involved with purchases from the Dublin Mint, or their parents have, their elderly parents have, over, it looks like, a decade at this stage, to contact us and to say, be very careful about what you think you're signing up for. And we heard story after story of people getting more than one coin, being invoiced for the coin, being told if you want us to stop contacting you, send back the coins, then being told the coins haven't arrived. And in one case, as you know, one family discovered that their late father had spent, unbeknownst to them, by the way, €36,000 with Dublin Mint. They're based, we think they're in the UK. There was a photograph on a Twitter feed from a Cathy Clark, who was their Dublin, or their area manager for Ireland, Cathy Clark Consulting. And she tweeted, she retweeted a photograph of Jim Fitzpatrick with the Dublin Mint staff. And it looks like there's about 100 of them, but we know people have gone out to the office that they have in Dublin 15, or the address that people eventually get. And it's basically a serviced reception. There's no staff in it, no room for staff. So I just wonder, who are all those people in that photograph, and where was it taken? Now, also, you would have heard yesterday and over the last few days, a number of antique dealers saying, we've had people come in with their Dublin Mint coin collections. They've done Michael Collins, and they do the Pope when he comes, and they do... give me something. They do the GPO when it was 100 years old, and they do Uncle Tom Cobbley and say he's Irish and all this kind of. But anyway, they brought out loads of medals. But the number of dealers have told us, coin dealers, respected coin dealers, that on average, when people come in thinking they've made an investment in a set of coins, they have to tell them that the coins are worth around 10% of what you paid for them. 10% of what you paid for them. And then yesterday, another caller said that her husband, again, ordered a free coin, got the free coin, then another coin arrived, then an invoice arrived, then another invoice arrived, then a legal letter arrived. And she said her husband told her that at one stage, in a conversation he had with Dublin Mint, but it is only hearsay, someone mentioned the Viper. Now, the Viper, there isn't a debt collecting agency called Viper Debt Recovery. It's a legitimate company. They have a van. The name is on the van. It's run by a man called Martin Foley. As I said earlier, Martin Foley, this is well known in the public domain. In fact, we've had people here in one of the four assassination attempts on Martin Foley. He ran through their house and jumped out like Tom Cruise out of an upstairs bathroom window to escape his assailants. He's had 47 previous convictions. He's been shot at 17 times, and he's been kidnapped by the IRA. But Martin Foley contacted us, and he said, "Dear sir, we wish to inform you of the following. We get all new clients to sign authorization forms, and when we do a background check on who's employing our company, we also get invoices, etc. Viper Debt Recovery has never been in contact with Dublin Mint office, or will we be engaging with them after what we heard on Liveline yesterday?" I hope this clarifies the issue. Now, John, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
In an unusual way, you came across the Dublin Mint office. Tell us.
Yeah, so I came across a lady who was sending money for these coins. She originally wanted one to do with the 1916 Rising.
Yeah, they brought it.
One of her parents was involved in something, so she was delighted she got that coin. And then, like a lot of your other callers, she kept on getting coins sent out and invoices and all that. And she came in to pay, send money to these guys, and it was a couple of thousand. Mm-hmm. I said, like, do you really want to be sending this? And she said, okay. No, but they sent me the coin, and now I have to pay for it. And there was some sort of a payment plan put in place. And I says, well, why would you be paying for it if you don't actually want it? And yeah. She says, like that, she's getting the calls. So I said, do you want me to ring and I'll have a chat with them? So I done that. first of all, they wouldn't talk to me because, you know, data protection and GDPR in and all that, correct? So I put the lady on. She gave me permission to speak to them, so they did. So I got talking to this English guy, and I explained the situation. She's getting these coins, she doesn't want them, and the guy started telling me, oh, they're very valuable, and she would have signed up for this, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, no, she did. She wanted the 1916 one.
Okay.
I was happy with it, but she wants to stop it. So he was very reluctant to kind of get into any kind of situation where she was going to get a refund. So I kind of asked the question. I said, can you tell me now? I said, right, if that's your company position, who regulates you?
Okay.
Is it the central bank? So he quickly put me on to his manager, also another English guy, and went through the same rigmarole with him. And I asked again who the regulator was, and that wasn't forthcoming from him. So he said that he was prepared to give a refund if she sent back the coin, this valuable coin. And I said, well, how would she get this coin back to you? He said, if she registered posted it. So there's a maximum value there of $320 that you can insure.
Because you're in the post business, so to speak. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a maximum. And much did, again, did they say the coins were worth?
Well, this particular one, I think she had was $12,000 or something like this.
I suspect, John, from what you're saying, you're one of the people that the minute you heard this, you're saying that poor woman thinks. Mm. And what age group was she?
So, to the age group, I asked him, I said, just as a matter of interest, what does this woman do with this coin? Like, you know, other than collect one? And he said, oh, they're very valuable, she can sell it. And I said, well, sell it where? Like, where do you go to sell a coin if she wanted to sell this coin?
Yeah.
So he says, oh, there's online auctions. And I said, just one second. And he could obviously hear this. I said, ma'am, do you mind me asking your name? And she said, her age. And she said she was 87. And I said to him, do you hear that age? And he said, I did, yeah. I said, this woman doesn't be on online or Facebook or any of these online auctions. So that's, you know, that's a not.
Well, some 87-year-olds do, but I take your point generally. Okay. Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah, this woman didn't.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, kind of my key objective was that this woman wouldn't send this money to these guys, you know, especially when she didn't want it. Mm. So the story about sending reg posts, the woman says, oh, I wouldn't be happy, and I wouldn't if this coin was worth this 12.
Exactly.
She wouldn't be sent.
She'd be worried sick that the coin would go missing and she'd be hit for 12 grand.
Yeah, exactly. So the guy then said that he offered that if the woman was happy, they would send out a representative of the company.
Yeah.
And I asked the woman, would that be acceptable? Would she like to entertain this woman? So she said, yeah, she would. So a week, maybe 2 weeks later, I was following up on the story. I said, Annie Wharton, and she said, yeah, this woman arrived up, showed her ID, whatever, took the coin back, and refunded the money into her bank account, everything, including the one that she did want. They said that they would give that to her as a goodwill gesture, 1961. And I kind of said, you know, I'm still a bit suspicious of that, but the woman had informed me that she had checked her bank account and the money was there. It was all returned.
Okay.
And it was over 10,000, closer to 11. This is about a year and a half ago. So
that she had paid them. That she had paid them.
She had paid them. Yeah.
Wow. And well, well done, you.
Oh no.
No, fair play.
We do our best in the post office.
I know you
job.
Do. You're brilliant, and it's one of the few services that's such pharmacies the same. That's such a community focus. It's incredible on posts and the post offices and the postmasters and mistresses around the country. Stay there for a sec, John. Michael E. Kenny. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Good to hear from you.
Good. And what is your title with Dublin Mint, Michael?
I'm an independent outside consultant. They approached me to consult with them about the history of Irish coinage.
Okay. And is that a full-time job or...?
No. I'm retired. I'm a coin collector.
Okay, good stuff.
I'm also the chairman of the Numismatic Society of Ireland.
Oh, very good.
Which is a club for coin collectors. The study, research and history of coinage in general, especially Irish coins.
Brilliant, brilliant. And
I have nothing to do with sales and marketing. It's just to do with the history and culture of the coins. And this is why the Dublin Mint Office approached me.
And but it's not a voluntary relationship you have with them.
Yeah.
They don't pay you?
No, yeah, I charge them a fee. Okay, usually okay. It's voluntary, but when a big commercial okay. organisation approaches me that is based in Norway, the Netherlands and the UK, I charge them a nominal fee.
Okay, well, rightly
so. But I can
only
speak about medals of 30 to 40 euro. And they're beautiful medals. They're very nicely done. The Jim Fitzpatrick one you mentioned.
Yeah.
But I got onto the Dublin Mint office, having listened to your show,
okay.
and asked them for a response.
Yeah.
And they said, well, the Dublin Mint office have submitted statements in response to all queries which have not been read or communicated by the show.
Well, do you want to know what...
I then looked up the Jim Fitzpatrick leaflet, which was at the coin show. They took a stand at the... Yeah. at the Irish International Coin Fair at mm-hmm. the RDS in February. And there was a big gang of people over from the UK and Scandinavia
okay.
manning the stand.
Yeah.
And I've got the leaflet, I've got it here in front of me. Irish Myths and Legends, mm-hmm. free medal, you have no further commitments. And there is a no-quibble 14-day guarantee,
mm-hmm.
and you have no further obligations. So I asked them about this, and they mm-hmm. said, well, we don't send out any coins unless they've been ordered, which is not what I've heard on your show.
It sure isn't.
And
it
secondly,
sure isn't.
They do pursue people who haven't paid in the normal commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm only talking about medals that are 30 or 40 euro, and I'm sure that's okay if you like them. But 30 and 40,000, I've no idea what any of that is about.
But it has happened, and we've evidence.
Oh, yeah, I've heard all your
yeah.
show. I've heard from everybody.
Yeah.
I've heard from very good coin dealers. But in our society, and the society has no dealings with the DMO,
but by
we
you,
have about
but
120
by,
members all around the country.
Okay, and it's a great hobby. And,
it is
and
a great hobby.
It's fantastic.
But the first advice we give to them is do not buy as an investment.
Okay. But the Jim Fitzpatrick set costs 500 quid.
Well, that's what I've heard on your show. But
yeah.
You see, what they do is they give you the free medal,
yeah.
then they give you a little booklet with
yeah.
inserts in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea is you buy six or seven other medals
yeah.
that don't come free to make up the set.
Okay.
The free medal is a hook, but we all know there's no such thing as a free lunch, Joe.
Yeah, but then to discover invariably, as we have, that the coin collections are worth around 10% of what people paid for it. I'm also reading a piece from Tony Hetherington, who's been pursuing this, the London version of the Dublin Mint, called the London Mint, same company. And he's been pursuing them for years. And he has, and I could read them out to you as well, they're the exact same complaints that our listeners had, that they're being sent unsolicited medals, then they're being sent invoices, then they're being sent legal letters, or so-called legal letters, then the various other stages. And part of the process is, and I know the argument, read the small print and all that, carry on, but I am baffled, Michael, and you must be as well, how
yeah.
everyone who is complaining that they've been badly dealt with and have paid big money over to the Dublin Mint Company, almost every one of them without exception are like the age group that John there, the Good Samaritan, just described, are elderly in their 80s and indeed 90s. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, well, I have very deep sympathy with all those people who owe many thousands. And I notice they're all elderly, vulnerable and with health issues. Well, I can tick two of those boxes myself, Joe. And I've collected coins all my life,
yeah.
but I've never bought anything as an investment.
That's fair enough. I take your point that, that Michael, you can tick two of those boxes. But the other box, the box you cannot tick is that you've given money to Dublin Mint. They've given money to you. Now, I also hasten to add, I'm not singling. They've also given money to RTE. They've also given money to numerous newspapers. They've also given money to TG Carr.
They've also given money to their financial advisors,
yeah,
to
exactly.
the accountants and solicitors.
I just want to talk...
But these are independent professional people.
Yeah, but where
they can't be brought to book for the marketing...
And what do you think of their marketing, Michael?
Well, I'm amazed to hear it. I had no idea. I've heard things like coercive selling,
mm-hmm.
predatory selling. I had no idea that they went after people for coins that they hadn't ordered. And I would advise them just to ignore them. I mean, if you haven't ordered the coin, then they've no right to send it to you.
Yeah, but I know that. But again, it comes back to the MO here, that invariably it's people who are elderly and vulnerable, as you said yourself, who are being targeted. And you know that when you see a legal letter coming in your hall door day after day, you do get frightened. You do.
Yes, you would be afraid. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm no spokesman for the DMO. I just gave them some consultancy.
And by the way,
they
mentioned, by the way, to you, the Liveline programme are not reading out our statements. Not only do we read out their statements, which basically say nothing, by the way, they're from Heenan PR, and Heenan PR told us yesterday they've ceased their relationship with Dublin Mint Office. And they basically say, if people contact us, we'll deal with them individually. That's what the statement says. And by the way, we now have a statement from T.G. Cahir. They say, following consultation with our advertising agency, we have stopped running ads for the Dublin Mint Office for the moment. Now, what will you do if they come back to you saying, we need your advice?
Well, I'm going to consider my position with them. Mm. Let's put it that way.
You see, the Irish Numismatic Organisation has a great reputation.
Yes.
Hasn't it? And you're chairperson of that. So
I'm
you're
chairman, yeah.
And that's why they came to you, the DMO.
Probably. That's why they sourced me up.
So they want you.
About the history of the coinage. It was nothing to do with these medals that they're producing.
Okay.
I wouldn't have any interest in them anyway.
No, you're not.
I'm more interested in medieval and ancient coins.
Okay.
We give advice out very freely.
Okay, great. But Michael, I don't know whether you heard the various various coin collectors and experts and antique who say, without exception, they've told us that on average, when people come into them with Dublin Mint Office collections, they value them at around 10%. If they can sell them, they value them at around 10% of what the people paid for them.
Yes, I heard Ian White and Weldon's. Yeah. And
do you respect them?
My advice would be to go to a reputable dealer such as Declan O'Kelly, who was on.
Yeah, but hang on, the people.
Michael Cooley.
We will, and I suspect they might say the same. But the people we had on are very respectable. Mr. Weldon and Mr. White.
Yes, of course they are.
Yeah, okay.
They run auction houses and dealerships, and they're not going to cod anybody.
Yeah, and they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, by the way, you're not the only one. They have this marketing system. For example, they've managed to get on Nationwide.
Yes.
With the Jim Fitzpatrick, and they boast about this, Cathy Clark, Consulting. It was also on the, as far as we can find out, it's also on the Advertising Standards Authority of Ireland, which is interesting. That's fine. It's interesting.
Okay.
They've managed to get on Nationwide. They've managed to get on the 6 o'clock news. They presented... they did last year, they did a papal coin for the visit of Pope Francis to Ireland. And they garnered publicity by presenting a coin to the Knock Shrine. Now, I don't know if the Knock Shrine got money or donations, but there they are.
I don't know about the Knock Shrine, but I do know their biggest seller was the Michael Collins medal.
Of course.
Which is a very attractive medal.
Yes.
But they made over 150,000 of those,
yes,
so they're never going to be rare or scarce. And they're only made in base metal anyway, so
and they're never going
there's
to
no intrinsic value there.
Yeah, and they're never going to increase in value.
No, they'll never increase in value.
But this is legitimate. There's a photograph of Cathy Clark, who's described as country manager for the Dublin Mint Office, and Monsignor Richard Gibbons, highly respected padre who runs Knock and runs it very well. And she's in the Knock Shrine with the wonderful icons behind it, and the wonderful mosaic, the biggest mosaic in Ireland at the minute. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful, manufactured and created and crafted in Italy. But anyway, there's the Dublin Mint Office presenting Reverend Gibbons with the papal coin in a frame or whatever. But my God, they knocked some, pardon the pun, my God, they knocked some publicity out of it.
Oh, of course they do. Okay.
Can you say,
but they're not the only ones, Joe. If you buy the British Sunday newspapers and look through their supplements, you will find loads and loads of ads from people like the Bradford Mint, the Birmingham Mint.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
there's a whole host of them.
Yeah, we'll have a. We'll,
but they're not coins, they're medals.
So
and
mad,
they're made of base metal.
And
or even the gold ones are only 9-carat gold instead of the 22-carat Royal Mint turnout.
And if you want to buy them as an ornament or a souvenir, that's fine.
That's what they are, an ornament or a safeguard.
Who organises the coin fair in the RDS? Is that yourselves?
No, we don't organise it. There's another person who is a member of our society.
Let me bring in Reverend. Would you stay listening, Michael? Reverend Robert Nooney, quickly. I'm sorry, I lost. Have I a break to take? Quickly, have I one break? Let me take it.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And even more bizarre and jaw-dropping stories coming in about the Dublin Mint office. Okay, Michael E. Kenny, apologies for the time allocated, but if we want to, or if you wish to continue tomorrow, because I'm looking at the screen here, we will be talking about this tomorrow. Annette Egan produced, and Catherine Thomas is next.